more Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus.
Hey, yeah, I need just a little more Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus
to help me along the way.
Good Sunday morning. You're listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider what does the Lord say regarding life's issues. Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer, access previous podcasts of this broadcast, or you can even now access and download this podcast in iTunes. There is also information to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or even sponsor this show. Visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you.
Today's question from our listener says, am I required to tithe today? Today's believer is under the dispensation of grace. We are no longer under the law. So we don't give because we have been commanded or required by the law as they were in the Old Testament. When God had delivered Israel from Egypt, he established the government of Israel and he commanded them in Leviticus 27 that a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the tree, belongs to the Lord, and it is holy to the Lord. So they were required and commanded by law to tithe or give a tenth of all of their increase. Well, we are now under the dispensation of grace, and that law is no longer over our heads, but we don't give because the law commands us. We give because the grace of God, the Spirit of God, prompts us out of our love and adoration and appreciation to God. Because the first time the tithe is mentioned in the Bible is when Melchizedek is greeting Abraham when he's coming back from his victory in battle, and Abraham pays a tithe or a tenth of all of his spoil to King Melchizedek. And King Melchizedek's name means king of righteousness, and he was the king of Salem, and Salem meant peace. He was a type of Christ, because even the Bible says that Jesus was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. So before the law was ever given, we have Abraham, the father of faith, paying a tithe or a tenth to Melchizedek, who was a type of Christ. So are you required to pay a tithe or a 10% under the dispensation of grace? Scripturally, no, you are not required by the commandments of the law, but by the gift of grace, we should be, as the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9, those who give cheerfully. And remember that he who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. Let each of us do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So give because it has been given to you. In John chapter 4, beginning at verse 3, the Bible reads, he left Judah and departed again into Galilee, and he, meaning Jesus, must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water.
The Message Bible says, So Jesus left the Judean countryside and went back to Galilee. To get there, he had to pass through Samaria. He came into Sychar, a Samaritan village that bordered the field Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was still there. Jesus, worn out by the trip, sat down at the well because it was noon. A woman, a Samaritan, came to draw water. Jesus said, Would you give me a drink of water? His disciples had gone to the village to buy food for lunch. The Samaritan woman, taken aback, asked, How come you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? Jews in those days wouldn't be caught dead talking to Samaritans. Jesus answered, If you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would be asking me for a drink, and I will give you fresh living water.
Amen. And we just want to share from the thought, if only you knew. Sometimes we are unaware of the company in which we are in, the greatness of those that are around us, or the power that lies within those with whom we are dealing with. Sometimes we are unaware, utterly unaware of the potential of those around us. This woman coming to the well, as she had done so many times before, to draw water, looking for natural sustenance for her natural body, is met by the very power of the living God. Jesus himself, God incarnate, is there at the well. The Bible says, worn out from his journey. We know that's the humanity of Jesus, because the Christ, the Christos, is not weary, doesn't get weary, neither tires. He came that he might give her life, that he might speak into her dead soul living water. And he has communion with her. And, you know, I just find it interesting that she's asking him all kinds of questions. What are you doing talking to me? Nobody talks to me that's a Jew. And he said, it's apparent that you must not know. The Bible also says that the problem is you don't know the word of God. Because if you knew, you wouldn't be doing some of the things that you are doing. Here, the word of God in the flesh is before this Samaritan woman. And he's telling her, if only you knew, if only you understood that he that stands before you has the ability to change your life, to give you water that would cause you to never need come to this well again. And so that's what we want to talk about today. If only you knew. Jesus always dealt with the religious spirits of our day. The Samaritans had no dealings with the Jews, and the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. Kind of like, you know, that segregation and that separation and that class system, that we're better than you and we're above you. And this is the way it's always been. This is the status quo. And this is the way we've always done it. And Jesus comes to disrupt. He doesn't come to fulfill your religion. He doesn't. Matter of fact, I don't think that L.J. Renee of Jesus incarnate came into most of our churches on Sunday morning, that he would even be welcome there.
What I like about this particular account is that it says that he must needs to go through Samaria. This is a place, the city of Samaria, that was not held highly by the Jews. Matter of fact, they despised Samaria and everything in it. But Jesus found that there was a need to go through this city because there was a woman that was in need of deliverance. And you know what? A lot of times we need Jesus to come to us because we are ourselves in need of help. And it looked like with Jesus that he comes through those difficult places where nobody else wants to go, that Jesus chooses to come because what he has is what we need.
And we always say that If you were the only person on the earth, Jesus still would have died on the cross just for you, just for me. He would have done it. This is one of those accounts where it shows you that it is true. Just for this one woman, he made his path cross through Samaria because the Bible said he must needs go through. He didn't just want to. There was a need for him to fulfill his purpose. It was part of his destiny. She was written into the destiny of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was going to go through there, meet this Samaritan, bust up the religious spirit, make sure that he made of her a servant of God that would preach forth the gospel, broke up all the fallow ground, changed all of their religious philosophy. I mean, just sent it all to shatters because he broke through all of their tradition and undid all of their religion. And Jesus went and met this woman at the place of her need, at the place of her shame. Jesus doesn't only meet you, but he'll meet you at the place of your shame. Many times people say, I'll come to church when I get right. You and I both know you can't get right on your own. It takes the grace of a merciful God to get you right. You just got to come to God as you are, like the prodigal son. Come to himself and just come filthy, stinking, wretched, and undone. You've got to come as you are, and Jesus will meet you at the place of your stench, at the place of your shame. He is not afraid to talk to those that the world have rejected. He is not ashamed to commune with those that we have cast off. He is not embarrassed to be found talking to those that we have called unclean and have despised and rejected. He came because he himself knew what rejection felt like. So he met her at the place of her shame.
That's right. She was in need of someone to come and give her a touch, because the situation that she was living in was not one that caused her to be proud of. Matter of fact, when he began to start reading her mail, that he found out, or she knew from the get-go, that she was not married, but she was living with an individual that was not her husband. And yet he stopped by to give her exactly what she needed in order for her to be free.
That's the next point, though, is because that Jesus requires truth from the inward parts, because she had to confess to him when he asked of her the question about her husband. She had to confess to him her situation. You have to be honest. Look, he doesn't require you to get right because you can't get right, but he does require you to come to him and lay it all on the altar. He wants you to confess with your own mouth and believe in your own heart. He wants you to come clean at the altar of God.
You know, it says that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And that is a prerequisite. I mean, that is essential to us worshiping him, that we can't come to him with any false intentions, because the Bible says that he knows every thought and intent of the heart anyway. So why not come to him in truth? And that's what he's asking us. He's saying, in order to worship me, in order for me to do what you would have, what you need done in your life, you have to come to me with truth. He said, but when you can confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, then you will be saved. Save also mean that you will be delivered. Jesus Christ, he is the truth. He is the way, and he is the life.
And he is the word. The Bible says that the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He knew what was in the woman's heart. He knew what the thoughts that she was thinking in her heart. And he asked of her, he said, where's your husband? Her testimony later become, he told me everything I ever did. He already knew everything about her, but he wanted her to come clean before him, you know, because he had already discerned. She is talking to the living word of God.
And you know what? When I think about this, I think about deliverance, that he pinpointed what the issue was in her heart. Even now where you have people who are living together, even in the word of God, it says when two people join themselves together, they become one flesh. And so he knew that in order for this woman to be free, she had to acknowledge that the man that she was living with was not her husband in order for her to be delivered. And that's just the way it is with us today, is that we have some things in our heart that only really we can say one thing, but Jesus Christ know the real deal that's going on in our heart. He will begin to speak to you about that issue, and he's coming to you with truth. He's coming to you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He's coming to you to allow you to know that there is nothing too bad that you have done that he cannot forgive you of. The best thing that we can do is to come in agreement with him and say, yes, Lord, because he knows that we cannot be delivered unless he delivers us, because he has all power in his hands. He even knows the things that we do that holds us back.
Don't you find it peculiar that Jesus is asking of her in verse 7, give me to drink? Why is Jesus asking this woman to give him something to drink? Instead of her just giving him something to drink, she goes into a discourse that eventually saves her life, her eternal life. But why is Jesus, the eternal fountain of water, why is he asking her to give him something to drink?
I think what he was doing, as he does with any of us, is to start a dialogue with us. He knows what his real purpose and intent is when he asked the question. He was opening her up to a conversation to get to the root of the problem. And basically what he's saying is whatever you need, I am able to deliver.
I think that Jesus is taking opportunity, as he seemed to do on many occasions, to take that which is natural and understandable to the natural man, that he might open up the eyes of her understanding to something far greater and supernatural. He's asking her for natural water because she has come to the well to draw natural water. So he's asking her for the natural water that she clearly understands, that he might expound unto her and show her a more excellent way of the supernatural with living water that she does not yet understand, but will soon understand. For out of her own belly shall flow the rivers of this living water, and she herself will never thirst again in a spiritual sense. So he's taking the natural that he might expound upon the supernatural. He's taking the natural that he might bless her with something that is far exceeding and greater than she could ever ask or imagine. So Jesus once again is taking the simplistic and making the complex understandable. He's asking her, give me to drink. I want to be where the rivers of living water flow freely. So he says to her, if only you knew. He said, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, give me drink. And that's what we're talking about. If only you knew. This woman was standing before the very presence of the Almighty God incarnate. He frees us from what holds us in bondage. He frees us from what we're fighting against. He is our Redeemer that saves us from our sin. Mentally, in our minds, we've been captured, but God will free us if we will surrender to him. I am free.
Mentally, yeah. You're catching me. Yeah. In my mind.
can imagine by this song that the lady at the well was saying the same thing when the Lord had given her rivers of living waters, when they were flowing out of her spirit, that she had met her Redeemer. And I can just imagine that out of her heart she was saying, "My Redeemer has saved me from sin. My soul is awakened. I live free from what held me, free from what fought me." I can just imagine that when she went to tell the people in Samaria, the city, that come see a man who told me all about myself, I know that her soul had been awakened, and the shame and the guilt that she felt just fled away.
God lifts our burdens when he meets us and delivers us. All of the burdens that had us weighted down, he removes them from us. You see this woman leaving her pot and running into the city to tell them of the good news that I have found a Savior, and he is sweet, I know. And he has lifted my burden, everything that caused me shame, that reason why I came to this well at the sixth hour when no one else was here, when the sun was brutally beating upon me. But I came at the worst possible hour because I didn't want to engage with anyone else. Everyone else seemed to be judging my condition. Everyone else seemed to have condemnation for me. Everyone else seemed to have a word that was not kind to speak to me. So I would make my way to the well when no one else was here. But I have found a Savior, and he is sweet, I know. He has lifted the heavy burden and removed the reproach from off of my life. Come see a man that told me everything ever I have done in my life.
And the power that Jesus Christ had given this woman of deliverance, whatever was troubling her, that she no longer had that burden. It was just symbolic. When the Bible says that she dropped her water pot, it what comes to me is that she dropped her burdens. She dropped her shame. She dropped her guilt. Oh my God, that she ran to her city and began to tell the people to come see a man that told me all about myself. And I know that when she went to the city and the people heard her testimony, that they came back now to see this man that was able to deliver, because they knew the reputation that this woman had, this woman that was cast down, ashamed, and sin-ridden. Now this woman comes back with joy, unspeakable joy, about a man that had delivered her from her guilt and shame. And no doubt that some of the men in that city were some of those men who had ridiculed her, or maybe have had a relationship with her. But one thing for sure, they knew her, and they knew that she was a changed woman, and they had to come see that man that set her free.
And you know, the thing about it, in verse number 25 and 26, Jesus speaks so plainly and clearly to the woman. The woman says that, "I know that the Messiah is going to come, which is called the Christ. And when he has come, he's going to tell us all things." And Jesus made it so clear to her. He said, "I that speaketh unto thee am he." He wanted her to know beyond every shadow of a doubt that you are talking to the Messiah, the Christ, the Christos, the one that shall come, the one that has come, the one that has the power to liberate your captive soul. And I am so glad that when Jesus comes into our life, make no doubt about it, he will introduce himself to you in a way that's unmistakably truth, that you will know that this is the Lord God, and there is no mistaking about it. There is none like him in all of the earth. I mean, you just got to be willing and obedient to be honest before him. When he bids you to come, you've got to say, "Yes, Lord, here am I. Whatever you want from me, whatever you need from me, here am I, Lord. Have your way in me." If you will believe in your heart that he is the Lord and confess with your mouth God has raised him from the dead, he said he'll give you this same living water. He'll change your life just like he changed this woman's life. He'll introduce himself to you personally just like he introduced himself to her. You hear people say all the time that he is my personal Lord and Savior. He was personal to this woman at the well. "I that you are speaking to," he said, "I am am He. I am the Messiah. I am the Christ. I am the hope. I am He that was prophesied that would come. I am here. And I am here to liberate your captive soul.
If you only knew, if you only knew, there's some right now that are sitting listening to this broadcast, guilt-ridden, oppressed, and depressed, that is in need of something special that will lift you up out of sin, that would get you up out of the situation that you're in. And I can hear Him saying, if you only knew, if you only knew that I'm the one that is able to heal you, to set you free, to deliver you, if you only knew that what you need was just a call away. Because the Bible says that they that call upon the name of Jesus, that they shall be saved. If you only knew, if you just call upon me, that I'm able to deliver you and to bring you up out of the sin that you're in. Or even if you're feeling that you have been, if you're feeling guilty about something or things are just not going right. He said, if you only knew who I am, He says, that know that I am able to deliver. When that woman dropped her water pot and went to tell the people in her city who she had encountered, she was on fire for the Lord. I bet you that she ran with so much zeal that the people had to stop her from running because she was on fire. And even right now, the word of God has gone forth and that the zeal of the Lord is contagious. Why don't you drink from the well of the living water? Only Jesus Christ can satisfy that soul. Just as He told the woman, you know, if you drink of this water, you'll be thirsty again. He said, but I'm going to give you something that when you drink of it, you will never thirst again. Isn't that good news that you don't have to ever deal with the situation of the pain and the hurt that you're in? Wouldn't you drink from that well if you never had to see another bad day in your life? I mean, I'm not saying that you won't have any problems in life, but you would have the power to be able to deal with them. You would have a Savior that when you cry, that He would be able to lift you out of that situation. Oh my God, if you only knew who He was, that you too will be asking Him for the rivers of living water.
Amen. And when you run with the fire of God in your belly, it is contagious. You know, that's why the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. When you have tasted of the goodness of God, you want others to taste and see. She said, come see a man. And they ran to follow to see if what she was saying could possibly be true. And when they got there and got to hear Him for themselves, they said, we were believing because of what you said. What you said was enough to get us from off of our seats of do nothing and run out to this well to see this man that you told us about. That was enough to get us to believe, to see if there might be something out here. But now that we have heard Him, we believe not because of what you have said, but we believe because we have heard Him for ourselves. In other words, we have tasted of the goodness of God for ourselves. And now we know that the Lord is good and that the Lord can do anything. It's good enough to hear about the goodness of the Lord. That's good. It's good enough to read about the mercies of God. That's good. But oh, I don't want to just hear about it. I don't want to just read about it. But dear God, may I experience you for myself. May you be more than my grandmother and mother's God. May you be more than the God of Jacob and Abraham and Isaac. May you be more than the God of Moses and Peter. May you be more than the God of those in the Bible. May you be my God, my Lord, my Redeemer, and my strength. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear and read of thee in the scriptures, but now I know, because I have tasted for myself, that you are God, and there is no God like Jehovah.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this time and this moment that you've given unto us to reflect, dear Father, that God, that we really do need you, the rivers of living water, Father God. We thank you for delivering us and, dear Father, keeping us, taking our feet out of the muck and the miry clay, oh God. We thank you, dear Father, that your desire is to save us, God. Oh God, we ask in the name of Jesus that those who are listening to this radio broadcast, that God, that they would desire to know you, to know, dear Father, the benefits of salvation that you give for those, dear Father God, who are willing to drink from the well.
We would like to wish every mom a happy Mother's Day.
We thank you for tuning in. You have been listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For information on this program, on how you can subscribe to or access previous podcasts of this broadcast, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. Until next time.
Jesus,
I need just a little more Jesus.
Hey.